I hear a lot of good preaching come over the pulpit week after week, year after year. And when I hear stories of people in other oppressed countries or people in the past who gave an awful lot of risk and work and energy to go here up to a certain meeting and hear a preaching service or this, that, and it was a very precious thing to them, some people in the past, who it was very difficult for them to get there. Mm-hmm. And then you would hear how that message changed their life. And I think that week after week, we hear messages that would change our life, except for the fact that we hear it week after week. Pretty shameful, isn't it? See, I like to look at the problem. I think we have a problem, and I think it's a tactic of Satan that I plan to expose in a short amount of time if I can, of keeping people from being affected by the Word of God. And I call it immunity by familiarity. Being raised in a Christian home. And I wonder just how many people have read this tract before. Have you been vaccinated? If you've read that tract, you could raise your hand. Okay. Some have, some haven't. I've read several of the others, and I've read portions of this one in the past. And I think probably the reason I hadn't ever taken the time to read it all the way through is because it was always available to read. It's true. So I'm going to read you a portion of this, and then I'm going to expound a little bit on it. So my voice is kind of risky because of all the singing. According to the World Book Encyclopedia, vaccination means the injection of any dead or weakened virus or germs into the body for the purpose of developing bodily resistance to diseases. They are tested so that they will be strong enough to cause the body to develop resistance to the disease, but weak enough so they will not cause serious symptoms of the disease before the body develops its resistance. And this is the definition of the vaccination. And this is the illustration for what the devil does. They're tested to be strong enough, so he makes sure he is strong enough. They won't be affected by this too much, but this is just enough of a dose. I'll get them here just enough to where they'll be resistant to it. And in order to render you immune to a disease, a weakened form of that disease is injected into you. This injected virus is too weak to have the effect of a healthy virus and only produces mild versions of the normal symptoms of the disease until you build resistance to the virus. Now, when the true healthy virus is introduced, you will not be affected by it or have any of the symptoms it causes. This is called vaccination or immunization. We all knew that, but it's good to hear it again with spiritual application in mind. And there is a vaccination that is to be feared above all others being performed. We are not speaking of the physical vaccinations received before starting school, etc. No, I want to speak to you about a dangerous vaccination taking place worldwide. It is not the vaccination against disease, but the vaccination against truth. Just as dead or weakened viruses are injected to build resistance against the effects of the healthy virus, so a weakened and perverted Christian faith is being spread to build resistance to the life-changing effects of the true Christian faith. And this pretty much deals with the aspect of the weakened and pathetic Christianity that we see in our day that makes the vibrant Christian life, the radical Christian life that goes all the way to the foundation, look absurd and foolish, and build resistance against that until the symptoms of the healthy virus, the symptoms of a healthy fear of God, are eradicated from your life because you have just enough of the symptoms and you've been introduced just enough to the semi-symptoms of this virus to where you become resistant to it. Now, I'm not exactly going to hit it from that angle tonight, but I think there's another vaccination that the devil has tested, and it is very effective, and it is strong enough, it's tested and proven to be strong enough to help us to be resistant to the truth. And I want to just read an example. There's many, many examples in the Bible of this happening. But in Exodus chapter 24, we have the account here of the children of Israel with Moses. And he said, the Lord said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come up near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with them. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice, and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. And Moses rose up early in the morning, built an altar. And anyway, he ends up going up, at the end there, went up into the midst of the cloud, got him up into the mountain. Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. And then, if you turn over, which you don't have to, for time's sake, I'm not going to read all this. But in chapter 32, you find the children of Israel then wondering what has become of Moses. And asking Aaron to build them and a calf to worship. And I think this is a classic example of the immunization that you can get by being familiar, over familiar. You're there with the congregation of Israel, the congregation of God who walked through the Red Sea, who God had water come out of a rock. Who's ever seen that before? You know, most we've never seen a supernatural act in that degree. But they had seen one after the other, after the other, after the other. And now their leader, Moses, is up in the mountain right now. The mountain's probably smoking and burning. And he's been up there for 40 days with total supernatural going on. And they become so accustomed to it that they can go and request Aaron to make them a calf, because we don't know what happened to Moses. It's a shame. I don't think they're any stupider than we are. And I don't like to use that word flippantly when I'm saying things, but I don't think that we are just that much smarter than they are, and we're that much more advanced than they are. I think we have the same tendencies.
Right.
And I fight against this tendency myself. And, you know, we all understand, and we've all heard the term, familiarity breeds contempt. And I wonder just how much contempt and how much contempt we have for the Word of God. And I'm going to bring out a few examples. Of some areas in the Word of God where we do have an element of contempt. We don't appreciate it. Like if we had heard it for the very first time and believed it. And I think of areas like when you read the Gospels and you read the story of Jesus and his life on earth and all that he did and the miracles that went on there, and then you read of his crucifixion, his death, burial, and his resurrection. If you could have not heard that story your whole entire life growing up, it might stir enough emotion and feeling inside of you to change your life.
Right.
Too many times, we could read through that with a blah look on our face most of the time. That's not okay. And, you know, sometimes I look around a church meeting just curious to who's paying attention and who's sitting there with a bored look on their face. And I can look at that person and say they're too familiar. They have been vaccinated right to what's going on right now.
That's right.
Over familiarity with the preaching of the word, and they're vaccinated. And that's one classic example. Contempt for Christ. Contempt for his... Don't care about his crucifixion. So I would never say that. I would never say that. But the problem is our actions should speak for us. Help us be honest with ourselves. And I'm speaking to myself as well here. What if that was your best friend? The very best friend that you ever had on earth. You know, Jesus was on earth. There with the apostles. And he was their hero. He was their best friend. He did miracles with them. He walked with them. He never did them wrong at all. So I want you to put yourself in the perspective of this was your very best friend on earth. And some people, some ungrateful people, took him. And then read the story of the arrest, the trial, the crucifixion, and picture that as your best friend. If that would touch you deeper, which it surely would, unless you really have some appreciation for this, if that would touch you deeper to read that into that, and you have to make yourself enter into things like that. You can't just say, oh man, you've got to make yourself enter into that story and that scenario. Then I must say that you have contempt for Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for us. Because your friends should not be more dear to you.
Right.
They have not done near as much for you.
Right.
They have not provided a way of salvation for you. Yeah. As Jesus has. Jesus has done much more.
Good.
And I've got a lot more notes here to share. But I wanted, in a short amount of time, I want to hit that punchline. You have a Christian home. How much contempt do you have for your Christian home? I'm serious. Contempt. Like, a lot of times you get frustrated. You don't like it. Daddy mentioned Sunday, being a preacher's kid. Have contempt for that? I don't know what your problem is. I think I might, but you've got a problem. You just got to be a good one. Don't be a bad one. thank you. Think of the sound preaching. Your parents that are striving to teach you truth. Oh, you can pick them apart. Well, you're smart. They make mistakes. We can pick our parents apart. Are your parents trying to stop you from serving God? There are cases where people, their parents are trying to stop them from serving God all over this world. No, your parents aren't trying to do that. You have a lot to be thankful for. They're trying to help you serve God. Why don't you help them serve God? No, there's this contempt because we're familiar with it. Other children would look on and go, wow, I could only be a part of that. I could be in that environment. I could be in church every week if I could have those parents. If I could have been raised in that home.
Right.
It's familiarity. And it's made us very immune to the accounts of Scripture, to the sermons that we hear. If we could take each one as fresh truth from God, it could change our lives. And there's no reason to keep on preaching hard sermons if you're immune to hard sermons. If you're immune to straightforward preaching because you've heard it your whole life, another one isn't going to do you any good. And so tonight, as I share one more tactic of Satan to bring us down, to make us fall, I hope we can look at our lives and see that, yes, that has affected me. In some degree or another, I have allowed myself to become immune to the hard preaching. I've allowed myself to become immune to truth. I've allowed myself to become immune to the appreciation of what I have because I always have it. And if that was taken away, we might see things a little differently. And especially when it comes to the things of Scripture. The Word of God. You know, some people give everything they have to own this book. And then when they have it, they devour it. They read it and read it and read it and read it. Not in their spare time if they get some. They make that happen. They make time for that. That is the most important thing to them. Why in the world, when we get to judgment day, is God going to be able to hold us up in judgment against someone who this was their most precious and prized possession? And He's going to look at you and say, how many times did you pick that up? How many times did you read it? Did you make time to read that? The only thing that would make the difference between that person and me is the fact that I can read it anytime I want. I can have as many as I want. And so then it sits there, nice and safe. If it was taken away, you might, for a while, and you cared about God at all, you might all of a sudden value it. It might become very precious to you. And I'm not saying this accusatively. to you any more than I am myself. But I'm going to encourage you. This is our most prized possession. And when we get to Judgment Day, we're going to realize that. And I think that in America, we have it too easy. We have them too easy. And we have become very careless with the preciousness of the Word of God. It has become just way too common. And I want to encourage every one of you, including myself, to get in the Word of God, memorize it like your life depends on it, and don't take chances with your eternity over this thing of familiarity. That wouldn't be very good to stand in judgment with when God says, you know, your problem was you were too used to it. You knew too much about it. You were over familiar with it.
Wow, yes.
That's going to be a hard excuse. That's going to be hard to take. But it's true.
Amen.